Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is truth. Lord, I thank you that you lead and you guide us into all truth. Father, I thank you that we are who your word says that we are. We do what your word says to do, and we have what your word says we have. Lord, I thank you for your amazing faithfulness. I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Lord, for our brother coming to know you today. Lord, I thank you for your amazing love for each and every one of us and the good things that you have in store for our lives. Father, I thank you that as I share today, that your Holy Spirit brings alive the words that I share, doing what only your Holy Spirit can do by transforming these words into your power in our lives. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Last week, we talked about obedience being the master key to living an elite life. Elite meaning our best or most select life. Elite can also mean of high birth. We are of high birth when we are born from above. Today, we're going to talk about hearing the voice of God. In talking about obedience last week, I realized that it's difficult to know what to obey if we're not sure if we're hearing the voice of God. So we're going to be talking about hearing the voice of God. Last week, I shared the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 6, which says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your obedience is complete." That word disobedience means to disobey. In the strictest sense, it means failing to hear or hearing amiss with a notion of active disobedience, which follows this inattentive hearing or inattentive or careless hearing. I said last week that the adversary, Satan, comes with lies which sound like our own thoughts. He calls to question the truth of the word and what we've heard the Lord speak to us. The adversary's goal is to get us to walk in disobedience. We see this in Genesis, the very beginning of the Bible, 3, verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God actually say, you shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" So see, Satan was calling into question the command that God had given. And that was his inroad to getting Adam and Eve, the first humans, to disobey and fall from their position with God through questioning whether or not she heard from God or God actually said something. John 10, verse 10 and 11 says, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came," this is Jesus speaking, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." So Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. The thief or Satan came only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts," this is God speaking, "for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." So God has thoughts for us that are good, that are to lead us in his abundant life. But it is key that we understand how to hear the voice of God, how to hear God speaking to us, so we can line our lives up with the truth of the word. A lot of people think that it just happens automatically. I don't believe that's what the Bible teaches. People can choose to align their lives with his truth or to go their own way and do it the way they want to do it. ultimately, it's up to us to choose to submit to God's sovereignty in our life. When we say, God, you are our king, we then get to choose to line our lives up with his truth and who he is so we can walk in his ways. Job, this is on hearing the voice of God and the importance of it. Now, getting into some of the ways that we can hear God's voice, one of the ways that God speaks to us is through dreams. I've had dreams before where I kind of wake up, I'm like, okay, God, what are you trying to show me in that dream? Now, I've also had dreams before, and I'm like, okay, you know, I think that was probably just a pizza dream. It was weird, but I don't think there's any meaning to it. But then there's other times I'm like, is it a warning? Is it something from God? What is this? And that's one of the ways that God speaks to people, both his people and people that haven't yet come to know him. In Job 33, chapter 33, verses 12 to 18, this is a couple people talking back and forth. But verse 12 says, behold, in this you are not right. I will answer you. For God is greater than man. Why do you contend against him, saying, he will answer none of men's words? For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls on man, while they slumber in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and terrifies them with warnings, that he may turn man aside from his deed and conceal pride from a man. He keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. It does mention terrifies with warnings in this translation. One of the other translations, those same words could be translated, seals their instruction. Now, there are situations where God warns people in dreams and they go, okay, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go against the Lord. One of the very clear places where we see a dream being given to lead and guide is with Joseph, who was betrothed to Mary. Matthew 1, verse 18 to 21 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We see God guiding Joseph's decisions through an angel coming in a dream. We see later that God guided for protection in Matthew 2, 11 through 15, again in a dream. It says, and going into the house, this is the three wise men that came to bring gifts to Jesus, picking up the story there. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. So there, the wise men were warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, who had told them to come back and tell them where Jesus was. And Herod's plan was to kill Jesus. Now, he didn't tell that to the wise men. He told the wise men, tell us where Jesus is so I can come and worship Jesus. But he ultimately planned on killing Jesus, is what the Bible tells us. In verse 13, it says, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt I call my son. So those are a couple of examples in the Bible about God speaking to us in dreams. What I try to do is whenever I have had a dream that is a vivid dream, one that I wake up remembering and remember details of, I typically will take time to write it down or capture it via a recording. So I've captured the dream first, and then I take it and ask the Lord, Lord, what does this mean? Now, he doesn't always tell me right away what a dream means. Sometimes I'll have something happen later and I'll remember the dream and go, okay. And it's almost like confirmation. The most recent time that happened was with our trip to Florida. If you guys remember, the Lord gave me a dream that we were going on vacation, and we had a vacation house all rented, and we showed up there and we went in there, got in the house. And when we got in, and this is in my dream, the house is filthy. There's dishes in the sink. The place is not picked up. And I'm like, okay, what is going on here with this Airbnb? Because normally you go into an Airbnb and they're cleaned and tidy and ready for you. This place was like, they weren't expecting us. And I went back and looked at my email, and I realized that the email that I had that had the door code on it was from a year ago when we had gone there, and that I didn't actually have reservations this time. I didn't book the reservation to go on vacation there. But we were there as our family, and I was like a little panicked in my dream. I woke up thinking, God, what was that all about? A couple days later, I have a friend reach out to me and say, hey, I want to pay for your family to go on vacation or come to Florida on vacation. Now, as a family, we've gone to Florida a number of times and paid for the vacation and booked the house. This time, the friend took care of everything. He didn't know I was going to have that dream. But see, I believe I had the dream so the Lord could show me, number one, it was God's doing. It wasn't just my friend coming up with it. God wanted to bless us with that vacation. I didn't tell my friend of the dream or anything. It was just reached out and said, hey, I want to sow a vacation into your family. We're going to book the Airbnb. We're going to pay for your travel. You just get down here. Thank you, Jesus. That was a good guiding on a dream where God gave me confirmation of something so I would know that it was God. There's been a lot of others that I can think of. For a long season in my life, dreams was one of the only ways that I thought I heard from God. But I'm going to share with you during this series of messages over the next couple of weeks that there's a lot of ways that God wants to talk to us besides just dreams. Skipping from dreams, if we read the Old Testament or the first part of the Bible, what we're going to see is there's a lot of situations where God audibly talks to people. A lot of times through an angel or through the angel of the Lord is what they call it, but as a messenger coming and speaking a message from God directly to people. And it's an audible voice. Sometimes God will actually call out to people from in certain situations. And one of those places that's kind of well known is with Moses in Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 through 6. It says, now Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. He looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed. And Moses said, I will turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. When the Lord saw that he turned aside, God called to him out of the bush. Moses, Moses, he said, here I am. Then he said, do not come near. Take your sandals off your feet. The place on which you are standing is holy ground. And he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. So there's this big event that happens where God calls in a booming voice to Moses after getting his attention with a burning bush. I think for a long time in my life, I was looking for an experience, maybe kind of like that, where I heard this audible voice of God in this big way that I knew it was God and I couldn't miss it. I've never had that happen. And what I learned is that's not how God talks to his people regularly. Back in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, God didn't have the ability to have his spirit on the inside of people. So it all had to be external. Anytime God talked to people, it was an external communication because he wasn't on the inside of people like he is now. Another story from the Old Testament in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 1 through 12, this is a story of God speaking to Samuel for the first time and God helping Samuel recognize his voice. It says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli. And the word of the Lord was rare in those days. There were no frequent visions." Also, I'll mention at this time, it was only a prophet of God that actually heard from the Lord. So God used very specific messengers that he would speak to or have a relationship with. And then those people's job was to communicate what God said to the people. Praise God, now every single believer, everyone that's put their faith in Jesus, has a spirit of God living on the inside of them, and we all have the opportunity to hear the voice of God and communicate directly with God, where we don't have to have someone from the outside that hears from God and then communicate it to us. God has the ability to lead and guide each and every one of us through his spirit and through his word. But in this case, Eli was the prophet, and Samuel was the prophet's apprentice, basically. Verse 2 says, "At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was laying down in the temple to the Lord where the ark of God was." Verse 4, "Then the Lord called to Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call you. Lie down again.' So he went and laid down. And the Lord called again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel had not yet known the Lord, that the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called to Samuel again, the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, 'Go, lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came to Samuel and stood calling as the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' Then the Lord said to Samuel, 'Behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which the ears of everyone who hears will tingle. On that day, I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end.'" And it goes on. A couple things from that story. Number one, when God calls, he's not demanding. God was okay with Samuel not getting it right away. God realized that he would get it. And I think a lot of times we're hearing God's calling in our lives and we're not recognizing it, just like Samuel, that we don't always recognize when God's calling us. Now, sometimes when we look back on our life, we can recognize times where God was calling us and where we did ignore it, but we don't recognize it in the season sometimes. But just knowing that God is calling to us is important. It says that Samuel didn't recognize the voice of the Lord yet. For each of us, there comes a time where we realize, wait, that was the voice of the Lord. If we pay attention to it, we will begin training ourselves then to recognize that voice. And the more we recognize that voice, the more we can follow the plan of God for our life by following his leading and his directing. As I'm looking at this, I want to mention that those are the ways I kind of looked for the Lord to call to me, out loud, audibly. That still hasn't happened. I've never heard God speak to me audibly, out loud, except, if you will, through other people. I have heard people give me a word from the Lord that I knew was from God, that I knew was right. But God comes to us in a quiet way most of the time. It's mostly a quiet knowing that it's God. It's mostly a kind of a prompting, and it comes as almost one of our own thoughts, where it seems like our own thought, but a lot of times it doesn't quite line up with how we would normally think. It's just a little different. That is the main way that God speaks to us outside of his word. The very number one way that we hear the word of God, that we hear from God, is by reading the word of God. When we read the word of God, all of that is 100% God's word. Every bit of it is God's word. Now, it's been translated into English, so I'm not saying every single period and comma and everything in the English language is particularly inspired by God, because that is up to the translators. But in the original Hebrew and Greek, every single bit of it was completely inspired. And then we are so blessed to have many English translations that have faithfully rendered those manuscripts into the English language to allow us to have a very real representation of the Word of God that we can trust our lives to. I'm going to give one more story in the Bible this week, and this is talking a little bit more close to how God typically comes to us. And then we're going to share a story or two, and then we're going to wrap it up for this week. And then next week, I've got more scriptures and more stories that we're going to share. So 1 Kings chapter 19, verse 9 to 18. Says, there he, Elijah, came to a cave and lodged in it. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I have been very jealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the people of Israel have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And he said, go out and stand on the mound before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore the mountain and broke in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And behold, there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And it goes on and carries on that conversation. God wasn't in the big, noisy, explosive things. He was in a quiet whisper. Most of the time when God has come to me, it has been through a prompting on the inside, a thought that sounds just slightly different than my own thoughts. Yesterday, I had that experience. I was standing in line at Steak and Shake, waiting to order. And as I'm looking down, thinking about what I'm going to order, the Lord said to me, pay for the man's food in front of you. And I looked up and saw a gentleman standing there. I thought, okay. I just waited until he was done ordering his food. And then he went to put his card in. I pull out his card, and I just said, the Lord asked me to pay for your meal. I stuck the card in, and I gave him a Gospel of John. And I told him that God loves him, and that was it. That's all I did, because that's all God told me to do. I didn't say anything else. I actually felt slightly awkward there after I'd ordered my food. I turned around, and the gentleman was standing there, and I didn't say anything to him because God didn't tell me to at the time. So I just let it go. But what was interesting, that morning, I had written my name and phone number in the Gospel of John. I've given away many Gospels of John, but I've never put my phone number in one before that morning, before yesterday morning. But when I went to put them in my bag, the Lord told me to put my name and phone number in that Gospel of John. So I did. I got a call later that afternoon from a gentleman who was seeking the Lord. And I praise God. My friend is here this morning. I won't mention your name since I'm recording, but my friend is here this morning and has given his life over to the Lord. And I'm able to share this message with my brother in Christ. And I thank God for that. And I'm so excited about the plan of God for your life that comes from obedience of hearing the leading of the Lord. And you heard the voice of the Lord telling you to pick up the phone and call me. And then to come out this morning and be part of our church service. And that took courage. And God has amazing things for you. And that step of faith, that step of obedience has changed your life for eternity. And God has so much more planned for you. And I'm so excited for God to be able to continue to unveil his plans, good plans that he wants to bring through your life as you learn to hear his voice and follow him all the days of your life. It's such an amazing journey to be on. Before we wrap it up for today, in Ezekiel chapter 36, this is a prophecy in the Old Testament that is being talked about for future times, which we're now living in those future times. This prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus came to earth and paid for our sacrifice, paid for our sins with his sacrifice so that we could have a relationship with God. And it says in Ezekiel 36, verse 26 and 27, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit I will put within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules." His spirit is put on the inside of us. He gives us a new heart to be pliable to his ways, to allow him in as we're born new on the inside. And we have his spirit on the inside of us. Lastly, John 10:27 says, Jesus speaking says, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me." We hear his voice. That is a promise of God. As believers, we hear the voice of God. It's a small whisper on the inside of us. If we feel like we're not hearing his voice like we want to, that's where the word of God comes in. Pick up the Bible, study the Bible, we read the Bible. Every word is the word of God. That is the primary way. The Bible is the primary way that he speaks to believers. The second main way that he speaks to believers is in a quiet voice on the inside, an inside knowing. One more quick story on listening and how easy it is for us to either follow that small voice or ignore that small voice. I have a local pastor friend that I hadn't talked to for about 8 months. And I started thinking about him the other day and thinking, man, I'd like to connect with him again. And the Lord was putting on my heart to reach out to him. I felt a little awkward calling him because I hadn't talked to him in 8 months and just out of the blue. So I was kind of putting it off. And the other day I was getting ready to go for a bicycle ride as we're going to ride over to the lake and do some study in the Word of God and plan my message today. And I just kept feeling that prompting on the inside to call my friend. And I was like putting it off thinking, I'll call him when I'm at the beach. I'll call him when I'm at the beach. But it kept coming back. And I praise God that sometimes he is more repetitive than others to get our attention. When you have something you kind of can't shake, this thought of do something. If you follow peace in your heart, you're like, you know what? No, this is God. You might in your natural self feel a little nervous, a little uncomfortable with it, but deep inside you feel a peace. It's okay. Do it. It's most likely God trying to get your attention. In this particular case, I'm literally packed to leave and I get to the living room. I hear the Holy Spirit say, call him. I'm like, okay, God, this doesn't make sense, but fine. So I just pick up the phone. I call him. He doesn't even answer. I leave him a message. I'm like, okay, great. Done. That easy. I jump on my bike and I start pulling away, and he calls me back. And we had a couple of minute chat, but in that chat, I mentioned, yeah, I'd love to connect with you at some point again. And he goes, what are you doing this afternoon? I was just getting ready to go on a bike ride, but I'm available. He's like, great. He's like, I actually have time this afternoon that I could meet with you. I would have missed that opportunity if I called him when I was at the beach. But the Lord wanted to get us together. And he said something to me that was very encouraging, that blessed me when I was with him that day. We went out to lunch. We had a great time. It blessed me. And the Lord wanted to bless me through him communicating something to me. But I would have missed that had I ignored that prompting and just gone to the beach. It's the little things when God's leading us from the inside that we get to choose to submit our lives to and go, yes, yes, Lord. One more thing I remember, and the Lord speaking to me, I went to Aldi's. Luke and I were shopping, and I just had a handful of items, and I checked everything out. And I typically, when I'm at my grocery store, I check my receipt to make sure they didn't overcharge me for anything or everything looks right. So I get done and I'm walking out of the store and I look down and I realize that he didn't charge me for one of my items. I was like, okay. So I was like, oh, he didn't charge me. I think I got three of something. He only charged me for two of them. So I went back and I was like, excuse me. And of course, the lines are forever at Aldi. So I walked back to the beginning of the line. I feel a little awkward at this point. But as I started to walk out the store, the Lord's like, and make that right. So I went back. I said, hey, excuse me. I said, I didn't get charged for that. And the guy goes, oh, it's fine. Don't worry about it. I was like, oh, okay. So I start to walk. And the Lord's like, that's not what I said. And I'm like, oh, so I turned back around. And I said, I'm sorry. No, you missed. I didn't charge a 90. He goes, oh, yeah, don't worry about it. No worries. And I was like, no, I'd like to pay for the item, please. And he just kind of looks at me and he goes, okay, like I'm crazy. Like y'all don't understand. I just helped you out there, man. Just take it and go. I'm like, no, I'd like to pay for the item. I paid for the item because I knew the Holy Spirit was telling me, pay for that item. It's not, and the Lord showed me, it's like, it's not the cashier's place to tell me I don't have to pay for an item. He doesn't own the store. It's not coming out of his check. When we hear the voice of God, whether or not it's telling us to make a phone call, pay for an item, do something, we follow the voice of God because he's our king. And that's what we do. We're obedient to him. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this word. Father, I thank you that we hear your voice. We follow your voice, Lord. And we walk in the good things that you have in store for us. I thank you for your amazing love for us. I thank you for your grace upon this week. I thank you that this word goes deep into our hearts and brings life to our bodies, brings life to our spirit, man. As you bring it to life, as we meditate on the truths of your word this week. I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen.
This is Pastor Tim Howe. Thank you for listening. For additional resources to help you live an elite life, visit EliteLifeMinistries.com. Our mission is to know, show, and share the love of God, living an elite life. So what is an elite life? An elite life is a life being transformed by surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, rooted and grounded in love. As we know, believe, and obey God's word, we experience the blessings and fruit of living as citizens of heaven and ambassadors for Christ. Living an elite life as believers is not about superiority. It's about embracing the life we were created to live, loving and obeying God, and loving and serving others. The word elite has multiple meanings, but one of those meanings is the best or most select. We believe living an elite life is the very best life anyone can live, because there is no true life apart from Christ. Jesus said in John 17:3, "Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So there is no true life apart from Christ. One of the other meanings of elite is of high birth. There is no higher birth than being born again or born from above as a child of the Most High God. John 3, 5 through 8, Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh is born of flesh, but spirit is born of spirit. Do not be amazed that I said you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." So let me ask you, are you living an elite life? Do you remember the time, the place, or the surrounding circumstances when you asked Jesus Christ to personally become your Lord and Savior? If you can't answer that with 100% certainty, I want to invite you to mark today as the day you know for sure that you've asked Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior. John 14, 6, Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. John 3:16-18, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe has already been condemned, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." 1 Corinthians 15:3-6, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers at once, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Romans 10:9-13, "That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart you believe and are justified, and with your mouth you confess and are saved. It is just as the Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, and gives richly to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so that no one can boast." If you'd like to begin living an elite life today, I'm going to lead you in a simple prayer, but feel free to say it differently. The important thing is that it's got to come from your heart. Heavenly Father, I acknowledge that I have sinned against you and I'm in need of your grace. I ask for your forgiveness. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is now Lord of my life. I believe in my heart that he died for my sins and that you raised him from the dead. Thank you, Father, for saving me, for forgiving me, and for giving me eternal life. I receive your love and gift of salvation today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you made Jesus Christ your Lord today, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to your elite life. Mark today's date as a reminder of the day you made Jesus the Lord of your life. We would love to celebrate with you. Please reach out to us at EliteLifeMinistries.com and let us know that you gave your life to Jesus. We have free resources to help you grow in your walk with Christ. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each and every person that has listened to this message. For those that just gave their life over to you, Father, I know the word tells us that the angels are rejoicing at this moment. Father, we thank you. We rejoice along with the angels and thank God for a new life being added to your family. Lord, I also pray for anyone that listened to this message, but didn't make that decision today. Maybe they're still unsure. Father, I ask you to reveal yourself to them and draw them to you. Father, I ask you to give them another chance to receive your salvation. Father, I thank you for that in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.